her brokering creativity for?
Dude, take it over.
That's like going over and having the child a second time.
No, the moment has passed. And those are the great ones. You can't even nail them down. They're back there and ahead of us. You'll wait for the next one like that. And that's what your dance reminds me of. You are back there and going on. To me, Dave, when you were dancing, I saw the theological description, concept of past, present, and future. Coming from one foot, being in the air, and going to the next, and knowing that that which was at that moment, future tense, was already shifting into the past and moving on into the present. And you really helped me, Dave, to get out of that triangular box done by mathematical men, the ruler, where the triangles are, I guess, equal something. And I saw the Trinity in this dance. How about that? And I suppose everybody saw this dance in some way, but I saw you, and I don't know if people have talked to you about the dance. Well, that was language. That was your language. And that was strong language for me. Real strong. You even looked like God was happy when you were doing it. I never saw the Trinity smile that way. And has sort of a glitter in his eye and a gleam as though I thought you had a trick up your sleeve. You have that tricky look. It was a real treat. I don't know. I can't talk this over with a lot of clergymen because I don't know any who dance that way. I've never seen one. And I don't know if it's coming out of our commission and worship and music to... Have you been called? Has anyone written to you to come to our Minneapolis office?
Never heard. No.
You may, but probably not. We're looking for some new symbols, and I just thought maybe you had been asked.
Go ahead.
I'd say take another look when you see a new thing in the chancel, a brand new thing. Or even if it isn't a chancel, if it looks like it could be, then just take your finger and go like this and put a chancel around it. If you want a round chancel, then go like that around it. You've got it. And take a second look at that piece of language that you see dancing or floating or lying there or whatever it is, and try and talk to the actor about it. That's something. I was sorry I couldn't get up. I looked for you. I missed you very much. I said thanks to a lot of the others, but where did you go?
Well, first I went out to the ditch to cool my feet off, and then I went to the snack bar.
Yeah. Well, most ministers go out and shake hands with everybody, and I was wondering where you were. You done so well, I thought surely you'd want to shake hands with everybody.
I may be a ham, but not quite that big.
Oh. Now, I think we could... Is this rehearsed?
No, it isn't.
No. Okay.
I forget my lines too easily.
No, I don't like to... I like to share. Willie and I had the 6:30 one evening, and Martha said... John brought in the art form that he welded out there. The very day that he brought it in, and we
sang a song and named it. We hummed it. We hummed it. So as we didn't know what to do, but we looked at it, and finally John was saying words like life and dance, and we know that Lord is part of John's language, so we hummed Lord of the Dance. And that was, I don't know, have you ever hummed an art form? There are lots of ways to respond, and you dance. Anyone else want to talk about Dave's dance? Well, you know, how you felt. Maybe you want to talk about how you felt doing it in the front of the altar, or maybe you never even thought of the altar, you know.
Well, I didn't really too much. I just was going out and trying to express and bring out the words of the song as best I could to the movements of my body. And it's such a, you know, hopeful song.
That's one of Dave's words. We'll put a line in there. That one, hopeful. Now, I don't want you to be very self-conscious about your words, but you've got a vocabulary that sounds like Moltmann, I told him, and other theologians of whom he has never heard. I wonder if these theologians probably got it from him. Maybe you get it, better be copyrighted. It is amazing. Yeah, it is amazing how this can be. What else were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking with the music, you know, it sort of flowed and just keeps coming for so long, and then there's one part where it sort of breaks up and it seems real bouncy and happy.
Yeah.
And you just sort of try and bounce along with it.
Yeah.
What room is that?
A time for us. Love themes, Romeo and Juliet.
Bouncing along. Do you think that the future is important?
Yeah. But just sort of let it come as it may and bounce along with it. Roll when you have to and get a sliver now and then, but that's all right.
All this chance taking. And I thought also of the historical, the existential, and the, help me out on that third one, eschatological. I really thought that was really a sense of history, that when you went from the left foot, you know, which is the historical, into the coming, you know, the forward, you're moving through the present, and that was like one motion, past, present, and future, and they all touched each other. Lightly. They weren't, you know, part one, part two, part three. You got into the future sort of by dropping right out of the present, the middle. Does this sound weird?
Not really.
The other night in the, what is that room, the shaft? Right?
We're in the lift.
The lift.
Yeah.
You gave a poem. I don't know if you when you wrote it. Sure. Did you call me an old man or just a man?
I called you an old man.
I thought so. Man. Yes, an old man. Those are the first three words of the first line. An old man. I thought maybe you said a man with a graying beard. No, but you said an old man. For the graying beard. I was afraid to read on because I'm so chronologically minded that I thought surely no good can come out of an old man with a graying beard, huh? Wouldn't you think so, Willie? Is that figure? And Dave kept running like that. Yeah. And then Spilling forth his ideas. I didn't like that. I wasn't sure about that spilling because. And then the next line says, they consume the floor. And they wade up high upon the walls. And here comes the line. And the ceiling floats free. Talk about, you know, that's what we talked about in Everett Sunday in church. That here's a way to open the box. Not to bust out with all your might, but you were saying till the ceiling floats free. Fantastic. Well, you said something about hopeful, and you said he uses tomorrow with ease. And he and his kind are tomorrow. That's hopeful, this future. This, you danced into the future. And your last line is part of the same. Well, we got more faculty around here than I thought. We have a lot of, I don't know, it seems to me that it's hard sometimes to affirm and to know that we have said a great thing. And I wanted to sort of slowly say that I think that for me, this summer has been great in part because Dave showed me the theological in the youthful. He showed me the theological by his dance. Showed me the theological, he affirmed the theological language that I have at the present time. And I know that I know where I get it if I have it, and I know how to keep it when I want it. It's from the youthful ones. And like that book that, I don't even know the author of, that Willie has his reading group read, Youthfulness is Not Primarily Chronological. Well, this is today's on science, huh? Is today science day? Yeah. Well, we've had a little science fiction now. Three and one, that's scientific, isn't it? That's math.
I heard something very interesting that Dave said.
Let math stress if I could borrow one of Willie's shirts, like right after first setting, the night that we did it, because I was looking for a fancy shirt to wear because I thought it would add. And she grabbed a hunk of material and made me a shirt. With straight pins.
Great. I came to the edge of the stage and there were a lot of people there and I was going too fast to stop. So it just sort of took care of itself.
Do you wish you had rehearsed more?
No.
Good.
Because if I would have, it wouldn't have been right.
Have you taken lessons
then? Well, I had a couple weeks on the dance in drama class at school, but it was all just
you know, teach you how to walk, how to do a tour jeté. That's about it.
Do you want to take anything with you?
Well, I'd like to, but I really don't know. It sort of depends on what comes up within the next year or two. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was me. Well, not unless it's done tonight, because I leave tomorrow and I haven't planned on it, but I don't plan on much, so. I'll do most any kind, you know.
Could you dance the guitar?
Well, I probably could, yeah.
Have you tried?
No. Might be kind of...
Can you get it?
Dance hall style dancing. But
how about what's better than now?
Where would you dance?
Right here. We just clear the chairs.
Yeah.
We'll keep going until you get back. We'll stay. Today is Science Day, that's right. Well, science has to do with chemistry, right? And if you don't know... Yeah, right. And if you don't know what you're mixing, when you mix chemistry, you may blow up a house, right? And I think that we have been mixing some chemistry tonight. That guy's going to get his guitar and he's not even ready. You're going to dance and you don't know what. And I think we've got some chemistry mixing. Now, I don't know if that's science. It's creative, because creativity is when we see the old in a new way and the new in an old way, and alongside each other, but doesn't seem to belong. I wrote some here. I won't read the title because it might give it away. It goes like this. Don't blow up the place. Oh, no. Careful. I know all about these things. You add that and we'll all be has-beens. I know. So, where'd you learn science? I never studied science. Then what are you doing here in this lab? There must be a law protecting the world of science against amateurs like you. Just watch. Watch out. Don't mix that mixture. I'm getting these test tubes ready for life. Are you a scientist? My friends say I am. Then why do you say that you make things and that you make things in a lab? Well, technically I don't. What are you doing? Why'd you come to interrupt my lab work? To set you free from the test tube. Free? And free from all formulae on the blackboard and yet unwritten. So I commission you to be scientist. But I don't need it. I'm getting my PhD next month. You need to be commissioned. Well, okay, I will. Now what? I commission you to be free and to discover a universe of secrets. And I don't have to invent and create, only find and discover. So where all have you been? To every science lab. To Cape Kennedy? I've been there, I've been to all. And you have commissioned everyone? Those who believe. Well, I believe you. Am I free for life now? Yes, you're free. If there is life in this lab, you may find it. Well, now where are you going? I'm moving the Bunsen burners. Well, where are you taking them? To the altar, to the church hall. Well, what will all the people think? Bunsen burners for candles. To celebrate your freedom, sir. So will we bring him back? Of course we will. And then this will be your altar. This lab table and this sink? Yes? You make a good minister in your lab apron. Well, how long have you been doing this? All astronomers came all the way to Bethlehem to see me once. Just to keep it scientific today. And a little prelude for tonight, for this bringing of stuff, you know, to the altar, and setting on the altar the ordinary things of life, like, well, I'd say if you've got a Bunsen burner and you'd like to share it for a while, fine. I didn't even appoint a committee to do this.
You want it smooth?
So you, Dave, you come from an ordinary congregation. How can an extraordinary person come from an ordinary? You know, sometimes a guy has to come so far away from home or leave. Wow, you know, affirming a faith. I thought of the end of Paul's book, Sign of Language, the Athanasian. Wait, I mean, that's what I saw, this affirmation of space and a moving spirit over against the typical use of space, elbow space, you know, or other forms of space that we primarily seem to affirm, that is, we use a whole lot of linear space. And here this ordinary guy, you haven't written up in Time Magazine or any of that. I mean, not even in a Lutheran. Who are you, Lutheran?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, I know there's some from Eau Claire who aren't, and I think, gosh, okay, at least you're Lutheran. This Lutheran theological affirmation of grace. I mean, grace alone, that you somehow believe that we would forgive you if you fell flat, huh? Wow, does he take grace seriously? He's about as serious about grace as maybe Luther, maybe a little more. I can tell you're a Lutheran by how you dance. I don't know what's happening. This isn't a night to end things. This is always another time, hopefully, to begin things. Stir up and open up to say yes to guys. I'd like to, I have a request. Did Doug leave? Is your guitar still here?
Good. Didn't walk out last
time. No? Well, you never know about Doug's guitar.
Tell me.
Doug and Dave? Hey, you know, that goes pretty good. Doug and Dave.
Broadway?
You're coaching Willie. What did you want to ask, Doug?
You coaching me, right?
Yeah.
I think you should get out of point.
I'll read one, but I couldn't do it. You know, I'll find one. Yeah. All right. You play, and he dances my lead. Okay. Only I didn't come prepared. I don't know which one. Do you know? Oh. Yeah, I think I know. Like a minor poem?
No.
I thought I was running this thing tonight. Willie's a troublemaker. I think Willie should come every other time. Oh, I have one. I don't know if it's minor or major. It's sort of a happening. Okay? Why don't we try it? It's very real. Because some people say I'm not real. They say that I'm figurative. They say that they have the real language and that this is figurative language. Now, I found one that's real. It starts, the minister was on vacation. Now, how about that? That's real, right? No? Well, it could be for some ministers who are on vacation. And the congregation held a happening. Okay, that... It's not, that could be major or minor.
I want to give you your standing space. Where can I get it? You'll probably find me. I'm sitting right in the middle. If you can go under that cord, wow.
Mm. minister was on vacation. And the congregation held a happening. They gathered in the parking lot. They set off firecrackers, ate popcorn, and they sang a Thanksgiving hymn. They folded their hands and said amen 7 times. They walked in single file. Turned looking out of the door with binoculars. They turned on the rock and roll station. Loud. And read Psalm 23. Times they shouted yes.
Next, I'm going to read three things.
one's called a faucet. I looked at a faucet. Now that's science, in a way, you know. I don't know if a plumber is a scientist. Maybe somebody's a scientist. But I looked at a faucet. I don't know what comes to mind when you think of a faucet, but... Yeah, drip. I really wasn't looking at a faucet. I was looking at what reminded me of a faucet, and that was a little boy looking into a puddle of water, and you could see his hand reflected in the water. And I bet his mommy didn't want him to touch it because he'd come home all wet. But he was just delighted in this mirror on the floor. And I wrote, "He will see who he is and what he is able to do on the land and in the sea. In the water shortage and in stagnant water holes, he will explore the world of water. He will bring life to the city in the multi-million miles of rivers, walled in and sent roaring through water mains, under floors and up high walls and over mountains. He will have dominion over the seas and the rains and his tons of shiny copper pipes and his cast iron canals uniting every corner of every city. He is able to purify polluted waters and to send fresh streams cold and clear through rusty faucets. He is able to fortify, purify, and to pollute pure deep wells filtered in sand and rock and time. City walls can rise and fall in their water. He is able to turn cities into deserts and dust into city parks. There is a power of quenched thirst as his wells and high dams send drink to the height and the breadth of any tiny dwelling place. At all the faucets and tiny drinking cups, they drink in his name. Drink is still brought to the multitudes, and the watering of Abraham's camels goes on in kennels and kitchens. There are many deep wells in crowded places and lonesome places, for the Lord still serves water to women in Samaria and to banquets and weddings. He will look into the water, and he will know who he is." Sort of dedicated to those of us who live in the day of creation and pollution. Now I've got the... I've got Jacob in an airplane here, flying. And I thought of all of us who fly like Jacob and run away in the night and we lay our heads on stone pillows in motels or wherever we go and have dreams and nightmares and have angels and visitations come to us while we travel, forgiven and guilty. And we keep going. And so I have called it sky traffic. But I got it, this image, by looking at a piece of nature. Skyward and earthward move the multitudes. I didn't want to just say skyward because I thought you can't stay up there forever. So I have them earthward too. The runway is white hot with burnt fuel and thunderous with power. The pasture is overlaid with cement carpeting 4 feet thick. Angels ascend and descend, and so do their people. The quiet pastures are public concrete and steel, and the place of quiet seasons and sheep is replaced with tight schedules of flights day and night. The cowbells are silenced by horsepower in tens of thousands, and the whinny of young colts is overcome by the revving of all engines at the fence rail. Red and green lines of light and yellow beacons blind the moon and the stars, and tons of baggage and the people ascend and descend without walking. Side by side they sit, arranged neatly as in a fired bullet, and are arched through the sky traffic. They sip tea and indulge in conversation and drink and magazines and chase with red-hot and white-hot power through frigid weather while their coffee cools. The city has concrete pastures. Horses are obsolete and can be seen free at food fairs and touched and ridden while mother shops and father rides the runways. The wildflowers cannot be found, but they are on sale downtown in hothouses. The mobile people riding the skyways converge in clusters of 100 and 200 outside the city limits and merge with haste into the city as cabs and hotels and tables are reserved 60 days in advance. New Jacobs are on the move, and they pound their stone pillows with prayers and aspirin and pills, and the Lord God of Jacob is above every pillow and every motel neon and every bed hard or soft. The God of Jacob still waits on the men and the women who ascend and descend carrying lecture notes and executive cases. New Jacobs, who are able to pound stones into pillows and still beat cement back into pastures, they say with all Jacobs, the Lord was in this place, and I did not even know it. And the third one, did you ever watch a city after a snow? What happens to the people? I was in New York City when I had the city to myself. I didn't see anybody else, and then when I did find people, I couldn't recognize them because of what the snow had done to us. I had Fifth Avenue alone to myself for a while. There was a tremendous snowstorm a few years ago. What happens to the people when it snows? You know, snow can make a city small. A snowstorm can make big New York City like a little town. The sidewalks on Fifth Avenue are snow paths for single file walking. People say please and thank you, and they stand in 10 inches of snow to let people pass them. The snow has turned the rush hour into a slow walk, and every man has this blizzard in common. Moving autos are a curiosity. I have Broadway to myself. The new circling Times Square is my own nose. It shines through the snow like a beacon, and the streets are at a standstill, and the world goes on. The blizzard is not the only news. Right now, I see that gloves and galoshes are on sale. Hand-printed signs are sitting in the windows. Snow has slowed the city. A state of disaster has been declared, and strangers are brothers for 48 hours. I have a little prayer here, asking God not to eliminate all disaster, but I don't want to say that. Well, that's kind of my way into the village, this first day back again. Is architecture an art? Architecture, that's a science, isn't it? I went to Everett. I went out of this town, this village here, to see something new. I saw an educational program where they had caged parrots, so the children could now see parrots. Well, I thought that was pretty good until I came to the next place in the afternoon that had 3 acres of land, and they said, "Wish we could cage some parrots." And I said, "What's that over there?" And they said, "Well, that's a gully. That belongs to us, and there are 100 birds in there, 100 different kinds of birds. We've counted them. Do you know where we could get some parrots that we could cage?" This first church showed me their room. They had carpeting everywhere. It was really great. I mean, that's really something when you can get that. And it was soft and silent and had an even temperature. The second congregation in the afternoon apologized for taking me into the house, a big house. They took me down in the basement and said that was the only part that they were using. I put my hand on the floor and said, "Feel it." And they said, "We have never even seen it." And we felt the temperature of it. And then we walked over to where there was a rug, and it was a different temperature, and it felt different. And they said, "We never saw the floor before." They took me through this house in about 10 minutes. They took me through the basement. And they said they wanted to have a theme for the year, and the theme for the year was family, the family of the congregation. Now, they said they were only using the basement of the house, but if I wanted to, they would show me the rest of it, that is the upstairs, and there was an attic, and there were 3 bedrooms. There was a living room, a fireplace, a kitchen, and a dining room. We walked out of the house, started up to the church, and they said, we're going to go up here and talk about that house. I said, could I take you down again? 3.5 hours later, we left that house. We looked at every corner imaginable in that house. And at the end of that weekend, the prayer of one of the women was, I thank God for helping me rediscover what is an extraordinary building that we have. I looked at that old house and said, it is still an infant. I have nothing against the Montessori school. It's just that they had already, to make money, they had promised that they could come in and they could take over that thing and do it any way they want to. But I begged that they might look at this house as though it were an infant, but that a church council could, or an educational committee could make that house old, an old man, a very old man, in 2 weeks or in a day. We looked at the cement blocks. They had never seen them. We counted them. We looked at the panels of cement blocks and found how many faces. We looked at the cement blocks as though they were film strips, and that every child could be assigned one, or that children could pair up, that this could be a family wall, an exhaling wall. They hadn't. They had never seen. They were going to color the entire inside one color. They never thought of the possibility of, you know, it was unbelievable. We looked at the posts that they thought were barriers and could see only 2 sides. And I said, go to the other side and peek. And here are these grown-ups peeking on the other side. They found that the other side was peeking space. And if there could be surprises on the other side, that children could decorate, and that, you know, this would be great. Now, out in their yard, they had assigned plots to certain families. It was like old cemetery plots. That was the best way they could figure to keep the garden plot, you know, clean. It was kind of a competition. But it was working. We thought about assigning a post to a family or a child and the possibility of surprising each other in that building and keeping the building childlike, this old building childlike. I can't tell you the excitement. It was just fantastic. They want to open the attic again. Some boys got up into the attic. The confirmands, the boys, sneak up there, and it's one of the high points of their confirmation year. They thought of the possibility of seeing the whole house as a family. They were setting up interest centers down in the basement, like pretend here's a kitchen. They had a kitchen upstairs. Pretend here's a living room. They had a living room upstairs. You know, they were down in the basement. They were not using, you know, what was right there. It was so old. The church council was especially glad because I'd saved them thousands of dollars that they didn't have to repair or, you know, even tear it down. But it was there, and they affirmed with me. They affirmed the space the way Dave did in the dance. We looked at things that they thought weren't complete, all these little tiny things that if a carpenter could just come in, you know, and finish it up. And every one of these little panels was the same size. See, and we thought that if every child could have a little board, you know, on which he could color, huh? And then when he got over the lines, the spilling over, where he couldn't stay in the lines, that we could affirm that, where he couldn't stay within the lines and put that coloring board of his that had all of these mistakes on it, unquote, quote. You know, put those in there, and then we could affirm his going out of the lines. And they got excited about using this space in that way and not nailing it shut. Well, that's the most exciting thing that happened to me this weekend, was finding that old house and the gully, and with these people spending 3.5 hours looking at a house that they had taken me through in a 10-minute tour. And they said, now you've seen it, let's go up to the church and let's talk about it. Well, I guess that's kind of what Holden Village is to me, that it's a place where I see a thing again that I see all the time. And I hope, well, I think, yeah. That's the only thing. That's the only thing I see myself as doing, is kind of mixing things up. And if it, you know, if it hurts you, talk to me about it. It hurts some people. And if it helps you, then maybe we can talk about it for different reasons. I call it interpreting. I think the theologians call it hermeneutics. Okay. And tonight,
when are Vespers?
I'll stay here, but I think I'll shut this off.